Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumley.
Well, for our longtime listeners, they noticed that the Jessica Blaylock of old is no longer in the open. And so just in case Jessica's taking some time away from her Marlins spring training work, we have to say, Jessica, we already do miss you. We hope you're having a blast. And judging by some of your tweets, it looks like you probably would rather be at the ballpark than hanging out in a studio with some girls. But yes, so welcome into Helmets and Heels. I'm Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, Blythe Brumley. Ladies, how the heck are ya?
Great. I'm ready to hear all about your trip because even, you know, even though we're on air, I didn't get to hear about any of it off air. So
and
I'm ready.
So bronze.
Oh, I thank you. That's completely and totally no sunburn in case my parents are listening. I don't want to get yelled at. That is a tan after sunscreen, of course.
Nice.
Trying to prevent the wrinkles. But yeah, the Keys. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was so much fun. To go, first of all, to go to Key West any time of year is a blast. Mm-hmm. But to go for a close family member's wedding is just so special. And when you love the bride, you love the groom. It was such an intimate wedding, too. There was only probably about 15 of us there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really small. And so every single person had a, you know, just a phenomenal time in general. Listening to the vows was just, oh, my gosh, just, oh, I can't even begin to tell you how perfect they were. And then, you know, we all had a great relationship with both of them. And so it was just so much fun. So after the wedding, which was on the beach, we go back to the pool and we all just hang out. We grill burgers and play in the pool and do swimming games. And I mean, obviously have drinks and stuff. It was just so laid back. It was awesome. And then the groom actually had to get on a plane and fly to Arizona the day after the wedding because there's this little thing called the Veteran Combine that he was participating in.
Yes.
So there's nothing like getting married and having like a, you know, crazy fun wedding and then hopping on a plane to go run the 40. That's always fun. But he did really well. And so then the party continued the next day after he left, and it was girls go to the pool bar day, which was clearly a great time. And that's where the sun came into play. I had never been there before. It's called Dante's Pool Bar.
I have experience there.
Oh, you might have even more experience than I have there. But no, it was so fun. They have beer pong tables in the pool. And
smart,
you know,
DJ.
All about it.
Great drinks. So much fun.
So much fun is right. I mean, we joked about whether, you know, Jacksonville should get one of these. And then
yes.
we said, oh, we would, down
Too
there,
much
you
trouble.
Don't know the people peeing in the pool. Here, you would actually know them because you know people are going because you watch them drink and not get out of the pool.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm, it was right. But
there's chlorine in the water.
It's yeah. That's what
Nobody
I always say.
Cares.
You'll be just fine. We all grew up with other people doing that and we all survived. And then after Dante's Pool Bar, we went and saw this band that I had never heard of before called Spiritual Res at the Green Parrot. That's one of my favorite places down there. And so it was so much fun. And Thursday we went to Hog's Breath and I found a new guy that I really liked that played the guitar. Not liked like that, Donna. he was married. But his name was Cliff Cody and he was acoustic guitar and was so freaking great. And I love country music and he did all like acoustic country, old country, new country.
Ugh.
I was just, yes. Just in heaven, basically.
I need to go to the Keys now.
I know, right?
Sold me on it.
Between raw oysters and live music and the pool bar, I mean, oh.
I would live in the Keys.
Me
like, it's
too.
It's just so gorgeous and just such a
the water is so pretty.
Lifestyle that I want. And
have you ever been, Donna?
No. Oh. No, but I'd live in Aruba.
Okay. Well, the Keys
kind
is a little
thing.
Closer
no.
to your family.
Right.
So there's
but those of
news.
You, you know, the listeners out there that don't know your family members that got married, mm-hmm. do you want to mention who went to the Veterans Combine?
Oh, sure. Lonnie Pryor. He was on the practice squad.
He did pretty well.
Yeah, he did pretty well. He was the fastest of the fullbacks. So that was good. Especially after spending a few days in the Keys leading up between this bachelor party the weekend before and then the Keys leading up to the Combine. Yeah, he did really well. We were proud of him. So yeah, shout out to Caitlin and Lonnie for getting married. And this Friday, the party continues down in St. Augustine. They're having the actual reception Friday.
Oh,
so
wow.
I know. So really, it's
open
just
bar
been,
for you.
It is open bar. And I came up with Not to like take any credit from anyone, but I came up with the hashtag for the wedding, which is hashtag priorities, because his last name is Pryor.
Aww.
So yeah, I thought that was kind of cute, right?
That's very cute.
Every wedding apparently nowadays needs a hashtag.
They do.
So. Yeah. So yeah, it was fantastic. Blythe, tell us all about your trip.
I didn't go to anywhere exotic.
Sort of you did.
Well, I guess you could say that. Well, I'm a big Disney fan, so they always have the Florida resident deals, and, mm-hmm. and around this time of the year, they have a 3-day park pass for, I think, $140. Went down with the whole family, family friends that I grew up with. There's about 15 of us there.
So were you all in the same t-shirts with
signs? No. We don't take it that far. But yeah, we went to all three of the parks. We did the whole, you know, go to Epcot and drink around the world. And
how far did you make it?
Oh, we made it the whole way.
Wow. Yeah. She gave the face like, how dare you even ask that question?
Of course we made it around the world.
So what, do you drink different things along the way, or is it all beer?
What we try to do is get a signature, because you're eating too. So you can kind of, you know, do the whole experience at the same time and not be too messed up. So you start at one side, and those that have never been to Epcot, it's a big, almost like a big U shape. And so you start at one section and you just work your way around, and they have signature drinks. They have signature foods from each country. Everybody that works in that specific country, you have to be on a work visa from that country. So it's really cool to like talk to these different people, hear their dialect, and hear them talking in other different languages. And it's just really cool to get the experiences that they have from their home country and what they like about working in Florida and at Epcot. So anyways, we made our way around the world. Magic Kingdom was actually open later that night for resort guests. It was open till 3 a.m. So there were certain points where we just literally sat down. Like, I think there was one show at the very end, like at midnight, and it was a light show on Cinderella's castle. And so we just sat down right in front of the castle and just watched. And there's hardly any people there because kids aren't up that late anyway. So did you
make it till 3?
We made it till 2.
That's pretty good.
And then we left. But that's after being at the park at 9 a.m. when it opens. You stay there. You take a little break at the hotel in the middle of the day, and then you go back. But it was a lot of fun. It's like I said, it's a big group of people that we always take trips with together. So it's more about the company and what you're doing, too.
What's your favorite ride?
I was disappointed with the Mine ride. It's the brand new ride that's at Disney World. It's a Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed with that, but you know, Space Mountain and Thunder Mountain are always really good. Everest at Animal Kingdom is really good. We didn't do any rides at Epcot, but we did actually use the Magic Bands, which I don't know if you guys know about those, mm-hmm. but they have your fast passes on them. They have your tickets on them. It's like these little bands, like bracelets that you wear.
Nice. Do they keep track of how much you drink?
No. Oh, wait, they could, because you can charge your credit card is built into it too. So you can, it's so easy just to pay for different things. And so you just swipe your little, you just wave your magic band and.
Smart.
Thanks,
that's a
Dad.
Little dangerous. Yeah. Another drink, please.
Arms out for a reason.
No, I just take my dad's hand and I put it up against the payment system. Thank you.
Nicely done. That sounds like it was. Really relaxing but fun time and
yeah,
good weather.
Yeah, it's just a good weekend trip. And it was definitely great weather up until Monday when we left and it was pouring, raining. And I was like, oh, thank God we're leaving. So
yeah. Don't you miss Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? You guys remember that?
No.
No.
You don't remember, Scott, you remember Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Yes, I do.
Yes. It was the most fun. I don't even know how this existed in Disney. I mean, you're great going through. I think we're the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, okay.
You're going through. All of a sudden you rob, I think, a bank or something. You end up going to hell. Oh, it was awful.
Dang.
Oh, it was.
No
you're like,
wonder
how
it was your favorite ride.
Oh, it was great.
That's
Bonnie
very Disney-esque.
And Clyde over there.
Oh, it was great. I never understood why.
Oh, Splash Mountain is also another good one.
That's
a classic.
Especially
yeah,
for Donna. Get it?
Oh!
Wet t-shirt contest?
Oh!
There we go.
Bump, bump.
Bringing it all together. All right,
bump.
While we did nothing but eat and drink on our trip and, you know, gain a few LBs, you, on the other hand, has probably lost a few LBs recently preparing, or at least changing the LBs around.
Yes.
Preparing for this photo shoot.
Yes.
So you are now the most famous member of Helmets and Heels.
No.
Tell us all about it, you stud, you.
I am so excited because, am I allowed to say this?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Well,
I don't know what
lovely,
you're about to say.
Lovely Blythe went to the Void offices to today?
Yes, today.
And Ooh. She took a couple snapshots of my layout on her phone, so I got to see him, and I'm so excited because I was very nervous of what pictures were going to turn out, and you know, because I sent you guys the picture of the bikini bottoms, and there was really nothing to the bikini bottoms.
No, I was proud of you for being able to be fit enough, especially as a mother.
Yeah.
To be able to put that skimpy thing on.
One of the first things I told Blythe when I was looking at him, because I'll show you later, I'm so happy that my abs, you know, ABS abs, came out. You know, I worked hard. I told her this was a 3-week venture of every day working out twice a day, eating nothing but, you know, straight up granola, spinach wraps, bananas and pears. That's about it. You know, and then I went on a 2-day juice fast of the naked drinks, you know, before the shoot. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying desperately hard to turn the body fat into muscle. And I'm happy with it. So
she looks bomb.
I cannot wait to see it. And I'm sure that the rest of Jacksonville is going to be pretty jealous when I get a sneak peek.
Like, I will say, I saw a few of the layouts, and Donna's was definitely one of the best.
Well, I was lucky because I got the best spot. I mean, Everbank Field, come on.
I didn't realize not everyone was there.
No, that was my shoot in the pools.
No, each shoot is custom. So it's one girl per location.
Even better.
Yeah.
I can't wait to contrast and compare. Obviously, you're going to be the winner.
No, I was just so excited. I was very nervous. Then there was no delicate way of walking out with basically a thong. And
right.
Being like, all right, well, here I am, everybody.
Here I am.
What are you going to do?
But the issue drops April 1st, citywide, April 2nd. And so you should be able to see Donna in that swimsuit magazine issue.
When the swimsuit party.
That is April 18th, I believe.
Yeah. We'll talk more about it closer to
All right. To I look forward to it. All right. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Christy Dosh and find out what her passion is and how she got into sports. She has written a book, Saturday Millionaires. It's been published for a while. She's also the wife of our program director, Chad Scott. And we are also looking forward to talking a little bit, like I mentioned before, about the angle of a certain body part. And also, we want to tell you whether blondes or brunettes sell more lingerie. So that's all coming up next on Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Rocking out.
Yeah, we don't have to talk right now. We can just listen.
You know, I was telling Blythe before you got in how we should really write down songs that we want.
Well, this one was handpicked because, if you remember, after my wedding reception Friday night that I'm attending for Caitlin and Lonnie, I'm going Saturday night to see Eric Church in Tampa, since I can't see him Friday night.
Right.
And I heard my friend Valerie sent me a text that there's a great hashtag, which is good girls go to don't miss church. Good girls don't miss church. So, yeah, that'll be fun. But next week, by the way, ladies, we will be live from the baseball grounds of Jacksonville for a little Florida State baseball action. Woo! And one person who may not be able to be there in spirit, but who will obviously be cheering for Florida, as she is a Florida graduate, is Christy Dosh, who joins us now, Vice President of Reputation, Inc. Hello, Christy.
Hello. How are you, ladies?
We're fantastic, thanks. How are you?
I am good. I'm so jealous that you guys are going to be at the baseball game, because baseball is my first true love, and unfortunately my second true love, Chad Scott, hates baseball, so he never takes me to baseball games.
I know, it's too bad you'll be in Atlanta and missing out.
I know. I would totally come without him if I was going to be in town.
You know, Christy, one of my best memories, and it's a short time that we've had you and Chad here with us, but of talking to Chad about certain foods, and, well, you know, we had a cake, or I think it was a cheesecake or something a couple months ago, and we're like, don't you want to take some home to Christy? Oh, no, she's not allowed to have that.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm like, what do you mean she's not allowed to have it? Is she, like, allergic? What's wrong? Oh, no, I don't let her eat that. Wow!
Exactly. And he always says, when I say you don't let me eat things, he always says, I don't let you do anything. And I'm like, give me a break. You do not let me eat things. And as a matter of fact, somebody asked us, we had our one-year anniversary
yes,
over the
congratulations.
Weekend.
Yes, congratulations.
Somebody asked, thank you. Somebody asked, were we going to eat the top of the cake? And it's in our freezer currently, still sitting in the freezer. And he has promised me that we will actually eat the top of the cake, but he didn't eat the cake at the actual wedding, so I hold out zero hope that he's eating any of this frozen cake.
Well, that kind of goes along the lines of when you wanted a cat and he made you promise to work out for a certain period of time before you get a cat.
But it worked. I got the cat. I did it. We've had Lizzie for, oh gosh, it's probably been 9 months now, and she's like the third love of my life.
Yes, she definitely is. I see your pictures.
I worked hard for her.
You did. And speaking of working hard, you're going to be in a pageant coming up here soon, right?
I am. I am currently Mrs. Northeast Florida, which is a title you're awarded. It's not something where there was actually a competition. So people are like, ooh, I didn't sign up for that pageant. There was no pageant for it. But I am competing in Mrs. Florida International down in Orlando in May. And the winner goes on to Mrs. International, which is actually here in Jacksonville every year. It was here last year. And I know they're on a long-term contract, so they're here for at least the next few years. So that would kind of be fun to get to represent the state of Florida and compete right here in Jacksonville. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm a pageant newbie, so we'll see how it goes.
What's all involved in this pageant? Do you have to do a talent?
Okay, so there's no swimsuit. Unlike Donna, I do not look good in a swimsuit. So there is no swimsuit portion of the competition. 50% of the pageant is interview, and I'm really excited about that because my sort of previous career as a journalist and all the things that I've done, like that's where I feel competent, is sitting down in a one-on-one interview with these judges, and you have a platform that you're promoting, and mine is battling children's cancer. I'm on the board of a national cancer foundation called Versus Cancer, and I'm so excited. I mean, it's really the main reason I'm doing this pageant is to raise awareness of Versus Cancer and its mission. So I'm really excited for that interview portion. And then 25% of it's evening gown. And I mean, look, most of us ladies love to get dressed up and put on a pretty gown. I just bought my gown last week, so I'm very excited about it. And then 25%. He did not go this time, but actually he did go previously to another dress store where I did not ultimately find my dress, but he loves that kind of thing. He loves going and giving me his opinion on that. He loves getting dressed up, so he's excited because he gets to escort me on stage in a tux for the evening wear portion, and he will love every minute of that.
That's adorable. How many people compete in something like this?
Chad loves to get dressed up. I believe there are about 15 women in the Florida competition, and then if you make it to Mrs. International, I think there's about 65 because you have one from every state, and then there's several international and regional titles as well.
Wow. Yeah, awesome. So if you want to see one of the pictures at Sports Biz Miss, by the way, your new profile picture on Twitter.
And recent headshots, yes.
Right.
Actually, the same photographer that took pictures for you ladies for Helmets and Heels, Tanya Beaver.
Tanya.
Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah,
I love her. She makes me look really good.
She makes all of us look really good.
She has great
photoshopping skills. Great job. I was deciding that we probably need another photo shoot in the near future since we're down a woman. And I don't think that's really going to happen. But
already.
I know. Don't you? Me too. Luckily, she'll be back next month. So that's good.
Oh, good.
News.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Marlins play the Suns in April. So she'll be back.
Oh, fun.
Up this way.
We need
for
a
that.
Reunion party.
I know, we do. We just had the going away party. Now we need a reunion party.
Yes.
So, Christy, tell us about your passion when it comes to the sports industry. I'm going to say that it probably came long before you met Chad, but tell us what got you into it in the first place.
So I was a practicing attorney, and I was blogging about sports on the side just because I grew up as a big sports fan. My dad was a big sports fan, especially baseball, and that's why I say baseball is my first love. My dad and I would sit and watch the Braves, you know, I mean, think every single night during the season that they were on. My mom worked at night, and it was just me and my dad at home. My brother's almost 9 years younger, so it was a while before he was around, and those are my greatest memories, I think, from childhood, are sitting around in a recliner with my dad watching the Braves, and so I got out of law school and I was blogging about the Braves and about the business side of baseball in general, just to have an outlet for my thoughts. I've always loved to write, and I just really, you know, blogging was kind of new back then, and I was just testing the waters, and it really just snowballed. I got an opportunity to write on a little bit bigger site. I had been just writing on my own site, and I moved up to another site, and then I moved up to another, and, you know, after a few years and lots of blogging, I got asked to go blog for Forbes, and write in their sports money section, using my law degree to dissect some of the business and legal issues that maybe other reporters couldn't tackle. And I loved it. It was a hobby. I was still working full-time as an attorney, but I absolutely loved it. And I stumbled across some pieces on the business of college sports. And I love watching college football, but it wasn't something I wrote about. And I wrote a series about the business side of college football, a five-part series. And it did phenomenally well in terms of people reading it. And I realized people really wanted to know more about it. That there, back then, I mean, that was probably 5 years ago, there wasn't that much out there about the business side of college sports. And so I made that my mission to become like the expert on the business side of college sports. And I think that's still probably my greatest driving passion. I do so many different things, from continuing to write about the business of college sports for Fox Sports and Sports Business Journal and other outlets, but also in my role here in Jacksonville at Reputation Inc. We've got a small and growing sports practice, and I really want college sports to be a big part of that, because I am passionate about college sports and about the opportunities that it provides for student athletes.
What do you think is the biggest misconception when you tell people that you are a blogger?
That's a really good question. In the beginning, I would say it was a credibility issue, like anybody can start a blog. So it was hard to convince people that you were doing your research and you knew what you were talking about and you took it seriously. I don't have that problem as much anymore, because I've worked for ESPN and Forbes and Fox Sports, and having those outlets behind me, people don't really question my credibility anymore. But I think there's still a misconception about the amount of work it takes, that somehow writing a blog takes less journalistic skill than writing, you know, an article in a newspaper or a magazine or for a major publication in a format like that. And it's not true. It's a blog only in name. You know, that basically just means it's an article I wrote online and it wasn't in a print publication, but it takes the same amount of time and research as the pieces I write that are in print publications. So I think sometimes blogging gets that sort of amateur tag, and that's not always accurate.
And you use the word expert. Before we let you go, I definitely want you to talk about how you just recently gave a speech on how women should embrace the role of expert and not run away from it.
It's really interesting, because I got asked to go speak at the Jacksonville Women's Leadership Forum, and I got asked to speak about career-defining, game-changing moments. And I think the other women on my panel probably wondered what I was doing there, because I'm 33, and I think they all had me by about 20 years. And I think they wondered at 33, how have I had this like game-changing, career-defining moment? But I have. And I tried to decide, was it the day Forbes asked me to write for them? Was it when ESPN hired me around away from my law practice? Was it when I got a book deal? Like, I think there's a lot of points in my career I could have pointed to. And I decided, after weeks of thinking about it, it was the day I started calling myself an expert. And I called myself an expert before anybody else did. And I really think that there's something to that. Like, you have to believe it yourself before you can make other people believe it. And when I emailed an editor at Forbes before I ever wrote there, I called myself an expert, and he emailed me back within 48 hours and offered me an opportunity to write for them. And I don't know if he would have done that if I hadn't, you know, had the balls to call myself an expert in that area. So I was really encouraging these women to embrace that. And so many of them came up to me afterwards and told me, you know, I've been in my field 25 years. I'm the person everybody comes to on this subject. Other people call me an expert, but I would never call myself that. And I realized that women are afraid to call themselves an expert. They're afraid that it sounds, you know, showboaty or too much self-promotion. And, you know, Right. Obviously I think you can go too far and you can sound like that, but you really have to believe in yourself before you can convince other people to believe in you. So I'm a big proponent of teaching women to sort of own that and claim their expertise when they have it.
Well, Christy, can you give us your expertise now on the Loretta Lynn Southeast Area Qualifier that you're also going to be a part of?
Okay. So I'm learning. I will not call myself an expert in this area. I know when to...
Not on motocross?
I know when to call myself an expert and when not to. However, I was so excited to get this opportunity to work with a racetrack that's here in Jacksonville. It's on the west side of town, kind of near where 10 and 301 meet.
So it's sort of
a WW Ranch. It is, and it's not even quite a year old, very new track. They've spent almost $1.5 million building this track up,
and
it's just, you know, even knowing nothing about motocross the first time I went out there, I mean, you can just tell it's beautiful. It's well-maintained, that they really take pride in what they're doing. And they have a regional qualifier that's coming to town April 3rd through the 5th. And I don't think people, one, know that it's coming to town, but two, understand what a big deal it is in the motocross world. The biggest sort of motocross championship is the Loretta Lynn. And in order to be able to compete in that up in Tennessee, you have to qualify at one of these regional qualifiers. And this is the first time Jacksonville's ever had a regional qualifier. So there will be multiple different classes for different ages and skill levels and that sort of thing. And eight people in each class will go on to the next level. So they're expecting 500 to 700 different racers to come in town that weekend and compete in this regional qualifier with the hopes of ultimately going on to the Loretta Lynn National Championships. And I, you know, this is an event I didn't know was having, and motocross is not something in my background or something that I've ever done. So I went and spent a day out of the track, and I met the owner, Wayne Scarborough Jr., and I talked to him about why he built the track and the type of events they were having, and I'm totally hooked. I am actually headed back later this week to get on a dirt bike for the first time in my entire life.
Nice.
And I am sold. I love it. So I really encourage people to check it out while it's in town this time. They're going to be there April 3rd through the 5th. April 3rd is a Friday. That'll be a practice day. And then Saturday and Sunday, there will be actual races that you can go watch. And it's everything from four-year-olds, which is kind of horrifying when you think about a four-year-old right. on a dirt bike. But I watched some pretty young kids the other day. They are impressive. You know, they ride that bike, like I said, they have no fear. They'll take on anything. And then all the way up to adults. And there's actually a young woman we had the chance to talk with this week so that we could pitch her story. She lives, I think, up outside of Callahan, maybe. She's 28 years old. She's considered the fastest female motocross racer in the Southeast. She's gone to the national championship 13 times.
Wow.
She's an OR nurse at St. Vincent. And in her spare time at night and on the weekends, she's out on the motocross track. And I'm so excited to see how she does in this.
Impressive. How can people learn more?
Yeah, so the track is called WW Ranch, and if you want to go on the track's website, it's www.motox.com. That's the actual track here in Jacksonville. And then the promoter who's running this race, that's where you can get your tickets. Depending on what day you go, the prices vary from $15 to $35 a person, and then kids 5 and under are free. And you can get those at www.unlimitedsportsmx.com. And I'll tweet that out too. So if people want to look on my Twitter at sportsbizmiss, M-I-S-S, I will tweet out the links to those.
Perfect. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun for people who have never been to a motocross event.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things I didn't grow up around, and so it hasn't been on my radar. But now having the chance to work with this track and learn about it, I'm really excited to go out and ride a dirt bike. And I think Chad's going to come out and ride one too. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I hope your pageant coach does not hear about the fact that you'll be on a dirt bike this week.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't broadcast it on Twitter after all.
Yeah, exactly. Put it in somebody else's. Christy, thank you so much for joining us. I always love listening to your opinions and your thoughts and procedures basically on how people get into something that they're passionate about. And I think for a lot of people who have one career in mind and then all of a sudden they switch it up, you know, you can provide so much advice on really how to follow your dreams. And so thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for having me, ladies. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Christy.
I'm sure we will see Christy
soon. Have a good night.
All right, you too, Christy. All right, ladies, we have teased the angle of a body part long enough, so we will get right to it when we come back. That's right here on Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
So this probably doesn't sound familiar to a lot of people, but this is the band that I mentioned earlier that I got to see live at the Green Parrot.
Good.
Putting two of my... Oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
They've got two trombone players. Oh, and then this song he sings to his wife who travels with them, and it means My Little Love in Greek. She's Greek. Aww. It's just, they're so much fun. There's a guy from Africa, like straight from Africa in the band, who doesn't stop smiling the entire time. They actually play, I forgot to tell y'all, in case you want to check them out. They play this Sunday in Fernandina. It's part of their tour nationwide. They're from Boston. But they play at a music festival. Yep, Sunday. And then the Wailers follow them, as well as Modest Yahoo. All at Main Street Park in Fernandina. So
nice. They're grooving, man. I like them.
They are. They're fantastic. Yeah. It's like an upbeat reggae with some soul. Oh, they're real good.
Nice.
Okay, so
body part.
I need to talk about this. It's now become an obsession of mine. So we've talked a little bit about the body part angle, and on Helmets and Heels, there's really no better way to talk about a body part angle other than talking about a woman's rear end. So Donna, tell us why a round booty is a good thing.
Apparently, evolution. All right, this is the title of the topic. Evolution can explain why a curvy bottom drives men wild. And it's not what we all think. It's not the Kim Kardashian, the Jennifer Lopez's of the world.
It's not making a booty clap.
No, it's not. Right. It's not twerking.
Dang it.
It's nothing. It's none of that. It actually, and this was done by researchers at the University of Texas, and the theoretically optimal angle, all right, mm-hmm. theoretically optimal angle mm-hmm. is a 45.5 degree curve from back to buttocks. It's not a big butt. It's basically your curve, the curvature of your spine.
So how you arc yourself.
Yeah, which is funny because always in dance, you know, we were always taught to, you know, lift your chest up, you know, lift
shoulders
your butt
back.
Up. Yeah, you never want to, you don't want to have
don't
the
lose
sway.
Your neck.
You never want to sway is what they usually say, yeah. So I'm never used to that. But the curvature, you know, they say this, what they have said was the spinal structure would have enabled pregnant women to balance their weight over the hips. This is because an advantage, it appears, that they're able to bear multiple children.
Well.
That's what guys, I don't know, that's what they have studied.
Which is a little crazy to me because the fascination with the booty has only really come about in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years or so. Before, it was all about the boobs.
I don't know.
Now, it's all about the booty.
How was the song, I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie?
Yeah.
That was 90s.
Yeah, so it's a little while, a couple decades.
Well, I think, like, more mainstream.
Right.
I think it took, like, a J-Lo and it took a Kim Kardashian to really bring it into more of a sexual appeal as far as that part of the body is concerned.
So what I've decided is that, since we're live next week at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville, and baseball players usually have big old round booties, we, between now and then, will measure the curvature between our spine and the bottom of our butts.
Yes.
And we will tell everyone on air live next week the angle at which ours protrudes.
I already have one kid, so I don't know about you girls.
So I think that'll be fun. People can certainly tweet at Helmets and Heels and give us their guesses. If the perfect one is 45 and a half, you can certainly guess what onion booty over here is. That would be fly.
I mean, it's crazy because they say that, you know, they came apart this. It was a two-part study, and 100 men were asked to look at images of women and rate their attractiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this was. And women with the 45.5 degree in the lower back were rated as most appealing.
Well, let me just tell you, after seeing your photo shoot or at least the sneak peek of the photo shoot in the Void magazine, the angle of which you curve in the pool is perfection. So that mm-hmm. must be 45.5 degrees. Speaking of blondes, by the way, in a lot of little clothing, I was shocked to see one of the articles that you sent out as a topic for tonight. Blondes versus brunettes and who sells more lingerie. How on earth do brunettes sell more than blondes?
I think it was plus size models lingerie, but brunettes sell better, right?
Yep. Plus size models sell more lingerie than slim models.
Right.
Brunettes sell more than blondes.
What do they mean by sell more? Just like you're a salesman?
Just like with the test, the study that they did. They did the same exact thing with the women in the lingerie, and they found that the plus-size brunettes sold 5 times more lingerie.
Wow.
Like, so women would feel more attractive to buying.
It's more relatable.
Yes.
That makes sense. Not what? Everyone eats an almond for a snack.
I don't know. And plus-size models, they don't tell you what size is necessarily plus size.
Well, I've heard plus to be technically plus size is a size 8 or right. above, which is ridiculous to me. A size
right, because that's average.
Normal.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about you girls. I love shopping at Vicky's. I love going to Victoria's Secret. I get their magazines, you know. And to me, it doesn't – I know I'm not going to look like that, you know. But
well, yeah, because they're airbrushed.
Right. Well, that's me. But I know, and it's not – I just think whatever – you know, I'm not into the florals and anything like that. But so to me, it's just whatever I think will look good on me. I don't.
Right.
So I don't understand why it has to be brunettes sell more. Are there more brunettes?
What happened to the redheads?
But it doesn't even mention.
What about people with purple hair?
Doesn't mention those either. Huh. Gray hair. Doesn't mention them. But
well, I suppose that, you know, if you're going to buy it, you're going to buy it really is probably the bottom answer or bottom line. And the study just somehow really teaches that. All right, I have a final question for you girls before we get to our super fun, I'm so excited about baseball game next week, and hopefully my team wins. By the way, they're both ranked in the top 10 in the NCAA ranking.
Hopefully all is
Florida
right with the world. Florida
currently is ranked above Florida State, so pipe down over there.
Is it going to be bad if I wear a Red Sox shirt or jersey?
No, not at all.
Because how do you feel
just
about that?
Just don't wear Florida State stuff, and you'll be perfectly fine. I won't beat you up.
I don't have any.
What if I do?
If you do, I might beat you up.
How do you look at it when people wear, when you see teams, you know, gear that are not the teams on the field?
I don't, it's tough because I've been on both sides of it, and I've been at Jaguar games, and I've seen people wear, you know, other teams' jerseys, and I don't like it, but I've been at other games. I've been at Florida, Georgia, and worn a Jaguars shirt. I've been at other college games, and I've worn a Jaguars shirt. I don't know that it bothers me anymore now that I've done it myself, but I know I used to hate it.
I remember going to Fenway years ago, and it was cold, and the only warm thing I had was a Patriot sweatshirt, and I put that on, and I got reamed by the fans.
Really?
You know you're at the wrong game, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
dang.
I am cold, and this is what I have. Man, yeah.
I don't think that would be supportive, or that would be a supportive atmosphere.
It was clearly before 2001. It was before the Tom Brady years, so, you know, it was in the sucky years.
Yeah, but it happens. Still. My question is,
No.
That's kind of how we roll. My question is, if you were to support your friend's brother, who is on the opposite team, the rivalry that you absolutely cannot stand, would you ever wear that person, that brother's, your best friend at the time's brother's team, if it's your absolute rivalry? So in other words, Blood, your best friend's brother plays on the Yankees. Would you wear a Yankees shirt to support him?
No.
Donna. Same
question. If it's my brother, yes, not my
best friend's brother.
No. Okay, I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if it's my dad's brother. I don't care if it's my uncle. No, unless it's my immediate family. Unless it's my brother.
You know, I don't even know that I would change, even if it was my brother.
It was your brother?
Can you create your own shirt and say, I don't root for this team, but I root for so-and-so?
That's what I should have done. In college, my best friend's brother played on the Florida State baseball team, and I was sitting with their family, and their family said, you can't sit with us, obviously, if you wear Florida stuff. And she and I both went to Florida at the time. And so I decided that supporting him was probably a little more important than the rivalry, and I wore the shirt and cheered for him. Obviously hoped that Florida State, the team, lost. I wanted him to do well. But I've always been very, very embarrassed to admit that story. And then asking y'all the question has now made me far more humiliated and mortified based on the fact that I did wear the Florida State shirt.
I mean, you never live it down.
No.
I think it was Aaron Colvin, cornerback for the Jaguars, that he was born and raised in Tennessee, and whenever he got drafted by the Jaguars, I think his dad actually burned his Titans jersey, which made me an instant fan.
That's love awesome. It. I didn't know that story.
I think it was Aaron Colvin that he said that whenever the Jaguars drafted him, burned all of his Titans stuff, burned it.
I would have went with the make your own t-shirt. I don't root for this team, but I root for whatever your friend's brother
is. Yeah, I'm not exactly in the crafty department, and that's something that we'll get into next week, which is
paint. That's all it is puffy paint.
Yeah, still no. No, it's just not me. But that's one of the things we are going to talk about next week. In addition to revealing the angles of our booties, I definitely want to hear, because I love this question, what defines a guy's girl? What is a guy's girl? I think all three of us will have completely different definitions of that. But before we get to Florida State baseball next week, first, we have to say hello to our good friend Fat Tony, who's coming up in a few minutes.